Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We are moving through the book of Revelation. I don't know if you'd call it a snail's pace, but we're covering a lot of this chronologically. And tonight we find ourselves in Revelation chapter 20. So if you'll be finding that. And then next Sunday night, I'll be preaching on the Great White Throne Judgment. And then the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And then some last words out of Revelation for Revelation 22. And then after that, I think I may preach a little while longer on some prophetic messages, like is America in the Bible? And what's happened to America in the last days, that kind of thing. I think that'll be an interesting study for us. So I'm going to come up with some more. Hopefully the Lord will give me some more prophetic messages to preach. If you enjoy Sunday night worship, say amen. All right, I'm glad y'all are here. It's good to have this bunch back with us over here. Young folks keep me young. My 12-year-old has got me back out on the ball fields again. So you never know. God has a sense of humor. Amen? Yes. All right. Let me talk to you tonight about the golden years. That's what I've entitled the message. And many, like I said, many of our seniors have asked me from time to time, I must have missed the golden years. Well, tonight I'm here to announce to you that there will be some golden years to enjoy. As a matter of fact, there will be 1,000 years of them. 1,000 years of them. And so there's coming a day where there'll be no more poverty. No more poverty. No prisons. No hospitals. No funeral homes. No mental institutions. No army bases. No casinos. No rehab centers. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb. It's going to be a great time. Little children will play with the serpents. People will live long, long ages, long time, just like they did back years ago in the book of Genesis. Israel will be restored to the land. Jerusalem will once again become the capital city of the world. The desert's going to bloom like a rose, and it will be much as it was in the days of the Garden of Eden. And so if you know a little something about how life was in the Garden of Eden, that's similar to the way it's going to be during that thousand-year reign of Christ. Did you hear about how Adam and Eve's children crawled over the wall after they'd been kicked out of the Garden of Eden? They crawled over the wall and began to look at the Garden of Eden where mom and dad used to live. And they began to see the amazing, plush fruit and the fabulous flowers and foliage and all of these things. And so they thought, man, what a great place this would be for us to live. And so they went back and they said, Daddy, we've just seen the Garden of Eden where you and Mama used to live. And they said, we want to live in a place like that. And so Adam looked at his kids and he said, well, kids, we used to live there until your mother ate us out of house and home. Oh, me. I'm awful, aren't I? Yeah. Okay. There's coming a day when we're going to live in a place like that. It's happening. It's going to happen. And so let's take a look, first of all, at this golden age. Humor always helps. I don't care what you're doing. It just sets everybody right. So, ladies, I'm just kidding with you, okay? Okay. All right. First of all, Satan, that old sinister minister of fear and doubt, is going to be incarcerated. He's finally going to get sent where he ought to be. All right, let's look at it. Revelation 20, let me read the first three verses here. Then I saw, now who is I? Then I saw, who is, that's right, don't forget who wrote this book. Well, God wrote it and He used John. I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key. Now notice this is important. Having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And so Antichrist and the false prophet have been cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone at the second coming of Christ. We covered that last Sunday night. And now this powerful angel comes down out of heaven, and he has the key to the bottomless pit. And he binds Satan with a great chain and locks him up in this bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's going to receive the longest prison sentence of anybody in all of history. And guess what? He deserves every single one of them. Amen? And he's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer from the very beginning. That's who he was. From Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 20, this old world has been under the rule of Satan. Do you remember what Simon Peter said about Satan over there in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 8? Satan walks around like a what? A roaring lion, seeking on this earth, seeking to devour whomever he can. And so Satan is going to be incarcerated. He's not going to be able to deceive anyone for 1,000 years. He's not going to be able to eat anybody up. He's not going to be able to tempt anyone. It's going to be a wonderful time, because where's Satan? He's incarcerated. He's in prison in the bottomless pit. You know, and I always laugh when I hear people say, well, all you've got to do to get rid of Satan is just bind Satan in Jesus' name. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. You can quote scripture to Satan. You can stand against Satan. You can rebuke Satan. You can resist Satan. You can flee from Satan, but you can't bind Satan. That won't happen until the millennial kingdom. He's the prince of the power of this world. Now, I want to tell you what, I was telling somebody this morning about how to, I may preach a sermon series on spiritual warfare on Sunday mornings here pretty soon, but when Satan tempts you, what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what I do. When he comes knocking, I just send Jesus to the door. And he's gone, you know. He knows he can't stand against Jesus. And so, but this mess about binding Satan, that's not going to happen until right here. He'll be bound for 1,000 years. And do you remember, turn with me, it's just a few pages to the left. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. You'll remember this. Then the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. And who is that? Remember? That's right. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Huh? And he opened the bottomless pit, and the smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Satan once had the keys to the bottomless pit and unleashed that army of demonic angels. You remember that? We talked about that at length, I think. But now someone else has the keys. Who is it? That's right. And he gives the keys to this powerful angel who comes and chains Satan up and binds him, puts him in prison for 1,000 years. And so just think about that. He won't be able to accuse or deceive anyone for 1,000 years. Don't that be wonderful? 1,000 years. Glory to God. I've told y'all, I've read the last page of the book, and we win because he won. Christ won the victory for us. And that's why this powerful angel now suddenly shows up with the keys to the bottomless pit. Jesus has those keys now. See? Okay. But here's the meat of the message tonight. We're going to look at this thousand-year period from verses 4 through 6. And we're going to look at the Savior will be reigning. Satan will be incarcerated. The Savior will be reigning. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, these folks, what happened to these people during the tribulation period? That's right, they were martyred for their faith. You remember, they were crying out, "How long, O Lord? Our blood cries out to you." And so here, they're resurrected, and they reign with us and with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, I'll talk about this in a minute. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Somebody shout amen. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him how long? 1,000 years. And so the millennial reign of Christ is what we've been praying for 2,000 years. It's the thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, here during this 1,000-year period, God's will be done on earth. It's going to happen. This is the event the Old Testament prophets spoke about when they were talking about the kingdom. The disciples, you remember, got in an argument over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Well, that's what they were talking about when the kingdom was ushered in. The truth is, Jesus offered the kingdom to the Jews when he was here the first time. But they rejected it. They walked away from it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. But it's going to come. Now, I want us to look at some scriptures now, because these scriptures in Daniel and in Isaiah talk about how this time is going to be. So if you know where the book of Daniel is, turn left in your Bibles. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. What's next? Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Now this has to do with the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ from Jerusalem on the earth. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, what does that word mean? Watch this, look here, don't miss this, listen. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a what? Kingdom. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Amen and amen. Now, turn in your Bibles left again to Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah. Let me hear those pages, y'all. Isaiah chapter 2. We'll start in chapter 2, go to chapter 11 and chapter 35. Now listen to what the millennial kingdom is going to be like. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. I can hear the pages, but I can't hear the scrolling. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. Now it's, do what? What did somebody say over here? Already there. Praise God. All right. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. When is the latter days? End time events. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. He's talking there about the Temple Mount. Jesus will reign and rule from the Holy of Holies in the new millennial temple that he's built with his own hands. And the nations will flow to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, weapons of war will be turned into farming instruments. Have you got that? That smacks of peace. Peace. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a great piece of prophecy right there about the 1,000-year reign. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. And let's look at verses 6 and 9. Here's some more interesting things. I tell you, the millennial reign is going to be much like it was in the days of the Garden of Eden. Isaiah 11, verse 6. Now listen to how the animals are going to be. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The animal kingdom will be under the dominion of the Lord. And there will be peace like the world has never seen before. Now look at Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness, this is key, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. I was there in Israel. Billy and Carol were there with me. And the desert wasteland of Israel is flourishing. I mean, there are plants and trees and all kinds of agricultural things growing. It's an amazing thing that's happened there. And that is the beginning of what they're going to see. The land is going to yield fruit and vegetables like it never has during this 1,000-year reign. The earth will be free from war, sickness, and suffering. The earth will give forth her abundance. There'll be peace like the world has never really known. The animals will play with one another. Death will be very rare. People will live long lives as they did before the flood. Turn back to Revelation. Now look at Revelation chapter 2. I want to give you another really cool key to the reason that people are going to live long lives during this 1,000-year reign. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. This is how they're going to live long lives. Revelation 2 and verse 7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And so that's not the same tree of life that you read about over there in Revelation 22. I believe this is a reference to the millennial kingdom. People will live long. I mean, when you get to be 100, you'll just be a teenager. Well, I'm good with that too, sister. There are Jews and Gentiles who were not killed during the Armageddon, okay? There will be Jews and Gentiles alike that made it through the tribulation time and enter into the millennium. They'll have physical bodies, just like we do right now. And before they enter, they're going to go through the sheep and judgment, the sheep and goat judgment that Matthew talks about in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Now, you can read that when you get home tonight. But all the remaining Jews will be saved when Jesus sits down on the throne in the Holy of Holies, I believe on the Day of Atonement. That was the national day of salvation every year for the Jewish people when that high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Where are you getting all this, Cal? Well, if you want to really, really see where I'm getting this, go back to the book of Zechariah, or I'll read it for you. Listen to Zechariah 3 and verse 9. The latter part of verse 9 says, "The Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." That's when Jesus enters into the Holy of Holies and sits down on the throne. And then Zechariah 13 and verse 9 says, I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. And so all of the Jewish people, the Gentiles, the Jews are going to go through that sheep and goats judgment, and they'll be judged according to their sin and according to their works. And then the Gentiles are going to undergo the same judgment, and there will be those goats who are not true sheep that will be sent to Hades to await the great white throne judgment. And every person with a millennium, with a physical body, will enter the millennium period. There'll be people that have physical bodies that have made it through the tribulation, that make it through the sheep and the goats judgment, Jews and Gentiles alike, that will be just like us tonight. They're going to enter, and that's how children are going to be born during this thousand-year reign. And children will live long, long time. They'll, like I said, at 100, they'll be but teenagers. And bless God, I hope they'll get to be a little bit older than teenagers. Anyways, that's going to happen. Where do you get that? Isaiah 65:20, and there's some other verses there that talk about that. But they're going to have the same choice that people have today to either receive Christ or reject Christ. But even in an environment like this, people are going to rebel against God. And now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. I want us to look at this resurrection stuff that verses 4 through 6 is talking about. Now, Revelation 20 and verse 4, let me read it again. I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who'd been beheaded for their witness. These are folks who have died. Their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or His image and had not received His mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is He who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. All right, these tribulation martyrs are going to be resurrected as well. Okay? They will also enter the millennial kingdom. Their souls have been with Jesus. You remember John saw them under the altar. They were crying out for justice. How long, O Lord? And so they are resurrected. They are also judged and have received their glorified bodies. Now, John calls this the first resurrection. Now, remember the Hebrew harvest that we talked about many weeks back? Well, I can see your faces. I bet there were three stages. I better remind you. Three stages. Now, there's the first fruits, and then the main harvest, and then the gleanings. You remember that? The Hebrew harvest? There's three stages to the Hebrew harvest. First fruits, the main harvest, and then the gleanings. Well, Jesus is the first fruits. You remember when He was raised from the dead? 1 Corinthians 15 talks about Him being the first fruits. Well, the church is the main harvest. When are we resurrected? When are we raptured? Well, yeah, the dead in Christ will be raised, and we who are alive, that's the main harvest. And then these tribulation saints are the gleanings, okay? And John calls that the first resurrection. There will be another resurrection, and I'm going to be talking about that one next Sunday night, the great white throne judgment. Now that the resurrection is complete, the saints of God are all together, and we are reigning and ruling with Him during the millennial age, during the golden age, if you will, and we shall be kings and priests of God Most High. Christ and His people are going to reign over this world. You know, we got all these elections going on right now. Who's running for? Let's see. Jim Durrett's the county mayor, and he's unopposed, right? Who's running for city mayor? Bill Summers. Pitts. Kim McMillan. Is there anybody else? Well, here's what I think. I think Craig Nelson ought to be the mayor of Clarksville during the millennial reign. What do y'all think? We're going to get positions in places of service and honor. That's going to happen. There's going to be cities all over the world. Now, everybody's going to want to get to Jerusalem. I don't tell you what, I'm going to get back to Jerusalem when Christ sits down on that throne. Whew, and we're going to go, we're going to learn from Him. Isn't it amazing that we're going to learn even more about Him than we know now? Really, it is. The Bible said last week we looked at He's got a name that we don't know anything about. We're going to learn about that. I tell you what, it's going to be wonderful. And I want you, here's just a little, this would be another great study. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. I might come back to this in some of these prophetic studies. This would be a good study. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Well, you're not supposed to judge me. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school. That's the most misunderstood verse in all the Bible. It's one of them. I could go off and get off on that, but we won't. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge people. We're going to be in judgment, reigning and ruling with Christ. How much more things that pertain to this life? So here's what I want to say about that. If we're going to make judgments like that then, why in the world shouldn't we be able to solve the problems in the church today? Folks, that's a great word for us today. If we're going to judge angels and we're going to make judgments about certain circumstances and situations, then I understand we'll be in our glorified state. I get that. But surely if we're going to do that kind of, make those kind of choices and decisions and judgments, don't you think we ought to be able to solve what's wrong down here in the church? Amen. And so we see Christ reigning, and then here's the final thing tonight. We see that Satan will be rebelling. He is a rebel, is he not? Y'all don't know who he is? Every one of us knows who he is. He is a rebel. And he's going to, well, let's read it. Verse 7, Revelation 20. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where guess who else is still there and been there for 1,000 years? Antichrist, that's right, the false prophet, they're both there. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I don't have the answer to this, but Satan will be released and will be given one last opportunity, or be permitted to lead one last rebellion against God. I have one reason for that, to just show us how utterly wicked and deceitful the heart of man is. I mean, people have been living in a very innocent, almost perfect environment for 1,000 years. And yet you turn Satan loose and he's able to lead millions in a final rebellion against God and God's people. We are desperately lost outside of the grace of God. Our hearts are wicked. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, they are deceitful. Who can even know our heart? Our hearts are wicked. And I want to tell you, next time you hear somebody say, well, she's a good person, folks, there's none good. That's what the Bible says. The only thing good about me is Jesus. Only thing good about you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've got Him, you've got all the goodness you're ever going to need, because you're clothed in His righteousness. And when He sees us tonight, He sees us as if we're already in our glorified state without any sin. Took you a minute to kind of wrap your brain around that one, didn't it? But that's how good God is. His grace is sufficient. Amen? And so this rebellion is permitted partially to prove once again how dark the human heart really is. And now Gog and Magog, we've heard about those countries. And basically, I think they're representative of the godless nations and people of this world. That's Gog and Magog over there in Ezekiel and other places in the Bible you'll find God. But they're representative of godless nations and godless people of this world. And so when He's released, Satan's going to lead one final tremendous rebellion against the people of God. And you know what? A heart that's never been changed by the power of God is hopelessly lost. And these folks have never been saved. Isn't that amazing? They go through the 1,000-year reign of peace and tremendous grace. And I mean, the animals are all under dominion of God, and there's very little sickness and suffering. People are living long ages. I mean, and the earth is giving forth the bounty of everything that you've ever dreamed of. And yet Satan is released, and Satan's not around tempting anybody. And then all of a sudden, he's released, and boom, he's able to pull millions of people together for one final. And many of these people are professors, but they're not possessors. You say, well, how can that be? Take a look at the church. Take a look at the church. There's a lot of people, millions and millions of them in Southern Baptist life, who have identified with the church and the FBI, the CIA, and no one else can find 7 million of them. We've got over 15 million Southern Baptists. And you know how many are in a house of worship on any given Sunday? Try about 4 million. Well, that's what's going on here, and that's what's happening today. And unless God truly changes your heart, it doesn't really matter what else happens. We need the grace of God to fall fresh on us. And what Kenneth was talking about over here today was there, a lot of people are looking at us and they're saying things like, well, I'm as good as old Sean Robertson is. If he's going to heaven, I am too. Isn't that a shame? We can't do anything with our goodness. It's like a filthy rag thrown in God's face. And so in the very last stages of human history, one final rebellion led by Satan is coming against the city of God. And so the city is going to be surrounded by the enemy, and fire is going to fall from heaven and devour each and every one. And then did you notice where Satan winds up? In Gehenna, the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. So, have y'all ever smelled sulfur, burning sulfur? Man, it will wear your nostrils out. And it is not a fun thing to experience. But can you imagine being alive, burning in a lake of fire and brimstone? Forever and forever and forever. Well, why would you want to follow a loser? Why would you want to follow a loser? Why would you want to follow a loser? Why not put your hand of faith in the hand of God's grace and allow Him to make the peace? We've all got family members. We've all got friends. We've all got neighbors that we're concerned about. And I want to close the message this evening a little bit differently. If you've got a cell phone or a computer, I want you to Google pray, P-R-A-Y, the number 4, T-N, capital T-N, .org. Okay? pray for, the number four, pray for TN, capital TN, .org. And if you'll just follow the steps in that, we have our Tennessee Baptist Mission Board has a, if you'll follow that link and just do what it tells you to do, immediately 40 or 50 of your neighbors will appear. And you can answer some questions if you'd be willing to begin just praying for those neighbors that live around you. I've been praying now for a week for all of my neighbors up and down Countryside and Westchester Drive and Trough Springs Road and Sango Road. And it'll give you a map of your neighbors. It'll list them by name and addresses. And it'll ask you every day, how would you pray for your neighbors? And what I'm praying for is that my neighbors that aren't saved, that they would come to know Christ. And then there's a place on there if you want to take another step besides praying and go disciple them or minister to them or give a witness to them, there's a place to do that as well. If we really believe what we said, I wonder, do Southern Baptists really believe in hell anymore? Well, it really doesn't matter whether we believe it or not, it's real. Hell is a real place. And real people are going there. People on our Baptist church rolls are going there. Because they've never been changed by the power of God. Get on this prayfortennessee.org and let's pray for our neighbors. And let's ask God to begin saving souls in our neighborhoods. And you know what? Prayer is the key to seeing people saved. Because if we'll pray, God will begin to move on their hearts and He'll begin to move on my heart and give me the boldness to go next door and see them and say, I've been praying for you. Is there anything else that I can pray about you? Well, what have you been praying for me? That you'd know the Lord? Well, I already know the Lord, but here's how you could pray for me. You can get in all kinds of gospel conversations just with this little piece of stuff here. Prayfortennessee.org. Prayfortn.org. Will you do that? I mean, all of you can pray. And if you really want to get radical, come on back up in here next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. You see all these prayer requests over here? We prayed for every single one of those last Wednesday night. Some of your folks, some of your people were on that board and they got prayed for last Wednesday night. I think this is where we've missed the boat evangelistically, with discipleship, with everything, is we have forgotten how powerful prayer is. And if we'll begin praying for our neighborhoods and our communities, man, that's another step towards Clarksville coming to King Jesus. Aren't you glad you came tonight? You got something you didn't even know about, didn't you? All right. Just Google that if you've got a computer. If you don't have a computer, Dick Littleton will get you one, all right? That's a great little witnessing tool that you can just begin. Anybody can do that. That's low-key. Do they know that you're praying for them? No. No, they don't know you're praying for them until you get bold enough to go see them. And then you tell them, I've been praying for you. Isn't that great? I just thought that was fantastic. I thought that'd make doubting Baptist shouting Baptist. All right. Let's pray together. Father, there's just no one like Jesus. We're just so thankful for Him. We've been studying about all these years of tribulation and these horrible judgments, 21 judgments that are coming upon the earth. And Lord, sin has done a number on us. But bless You, Father, for sending Your Son and our Savior so that we could have life. And not just any kind of life, abundant life while we're here, and eternal life forever with You. So God, there's nothing that can separate us from You. Unless, of course, there's someone here that is lost. Are you being changed on a daily basis by the power of God? Are you growing spiritually? Are you different today than when you claimed to have first met Christ? I'm not asking, are you perfect? But do you know that you know that you know God's working in your life? Say, Pastor, I don't know that. But would you simply just, right where you sit, just pray and just tell God how you feel. You say, Lord, I want to know that I'm yours. I believe what the Bible says, that if I'd turn from my sin and place my life in your hands by faith, that you would receive me and you would save me tonight. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for your forgiveness. If you prayed that way tonight, I want to know about it. You just come grab me after the service, and I'll get some stuff in your hands that'll help you get started right in your new life with Christ. Then we can talk about some other issues that you need to take care of. But, and if you receive Christ tonight, that's the main thing. And now I want to pray for everybody else here that is born again, that is saved. God, would you give every one of us a burden for lost people? Do we really believe in hell? A literal hell, a literal burning hell where people will live forever in torment. And God, we know that you created hell for the devil and his angels. You didn't create hell for us. So we ask God that you would touch us with the boldness that we need to pray and eventually to get around to getting verbal with somebody about our great Savior. Thank you, Lord, for this study tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now here's what you ought to do. Next Sunday night, we're going to be talking about this right over here on our prophetic timeline, the Great White Throne Judgment. And it's going to be an uncomfortable message. But it's going to come straight from the Bible. And all of you know people in your family and friends. And I would encourage you to just pack them up in the car and bring them with you. Because there is going to be a final judgment. And if you're raised to that final great white throne judgment, you're already on your way to hell. Your works are going to be judged. Billy mentioned a while back, is there degrees of punishment in hell? There is. But how bad would it be to be forever separated from the presence and the love of Almighty God? That's hell right there. So you come on back next Sunday night and you just do whatever you've got to do to get folks here. Okay? I sure love y'all. And you don't have the option. You got to love me too. That's tough sometimes, I know.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.